Would you take your Bibles, please, and let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. We're continuing our series on the hope. And we've tried to make clear in our study that hope in the Bible is not like hope in modern contexts. Modern context, we say, I hope that it's not going to rain tomorrow. We live in Florida, so we know our hope is probably going to get shattered because things can change. I didn't even know it was supposed to be overcast all day today. I thought it was supposed to be nice, and it ended up being cloudy and windy and looked like it was going to let go with rain. We live in Florida. There's always the change. The word hope in the Bible is totally different. It means certainty. It means this will happen. And so whenever you find the word hope in the Scriptures, we're reminded that it's based not on the veracity of humanity, but it's based upon the veracity of God Himself. When He makes a promise and He says, there is hope, it will happen. That's a glorious truth, is it not? It takes away the doubt. It takes away all the uncertainty that this life brings and helps us to understand and know that though my body, frail as it is, fails, there's something that's always true, and that is, in Christ Jesus, I will have a new body like unto His glorious body. And that's the hope that we enjoy now looking ahead. It's not going to have all the things of age. I was talking to a parent that coached for me way back in the early 90s, and he had come up to see his grandson play, and he and I are the same age, and he had a cane and is going through some pretty serious health problems, and we talked for a good while, and he said, you know what, I remember running on these ball fields, chasing my boy, chasing after T-balls, the orange T-balls back in the day. And he said, now I can't even walk fast. He said, I have got so many infirmities. And I told him, I said, but you know what? In Christ Jesus, we have the promise that one day we're going to have a new body, like unto His glorious body. And he said, and I won't have this. And he raised his cane up. And I said, please don't hit me. And he said, I won't have this anymore. And I said, you're absolutely right. There will be no need of a cane in heaven, unless your name is Cain. There won't be no need, because we'll be delivered. That's a hope that we have in Christ. I want us to look tonight at the hope of Israel. My heart is disturbed by what's happening in many places today with the rise of replacement theology, which says that the church today is the new Israel. That all the promises that were made to Israel as a nation have transferred over and now into the church. I don't believe there's any basis for that at all. It's a twisting of a few passages of Scripture that they come to, and I find that God has used the word hope in relationship to Himself and the nation of Israel. And I want us to look at it from Jeremiah's point of view. In chapter 29, he had the unenviable challenge of telling the Judean people that they were to go into captivity and they were to do their best to honor God in their captivity, not to fight, not to try to assemble themselves together to go up against the Babylonians because they would be unsuccessful. That 70 years was determined for their captivity. That was a hard message. In previous chapters, chapter 26, he'd been imprisoned for preaching an unpopular message. There are going to be many that stand up here in this passage and they're going to say, oh, he's preaching things. We need to get together and we need to go up against the Babylonians. But Jeremiah says, God says that will be unsuccessful. You go into captivity. God will preserve you and give you hope. For He will allow you after that 70 years of captivity to return back to the land. Hope is used a great deal in the Old Testament Scriptures, especially in prophetic statements concerning the nation of Israel. That God is not done with His people. And for some to say, oh no, the church today is the new Israel. All those promises that were made, no, that would mean that God lied. I'm using strong language here. God would have had to have lied to the people of Israel when he promised them that he is going to rule and reign from Jerusalem and they will be his people and he will be their God. Those are strong, clear promises. And for us to say glibly, oh no, those are all going to be fulfilled in the church, means to take away from God's established word. That's a dangerous place to stand. That's a very dangerous place to stand, to put words in God's mouth. Oh, he really didn't mean the real nation of Israel. He meant the new Israel, the church. Well, that is not at all. God has three groups that he deals with. Paul told us about these groups. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He says there's the church, there are the Jews, and there are the Gentiles. Can God have three tracks that he's dealing with at one time? Now, I know it's hard for us to chew bubble gum and walk at the same time. But for God, it's no problem. Are you listening? It's no problem. God has three tracks throughout history that he is conducting. We're living in the times of the Gentiles, according to Daniel. The Gentiles are in charge. Israel is subjugated to the other nations of the earth. Though she is back in her land, she's going to fall in the future for an antichrist who's going to promise her peace. And for 3.5 years, we'll give them some measure of peace, and it will seem like, oh, this is great, this is wonderful. But he's a liar. He's not Christ at all. He's not the Messiah. And then he offers a pig on the altar in the temple in Jerusalem, and he begins the process of destroying and attacking the people of God. And God comes out in power and strength, and the hope is fulfilled. Are you following me? The hope is fulfilled. What happens? He comes down out of the clouds onto the earth. He wins at Armageddon against all the enemies of Israel. Amen? Number one, he touches down in Basra near Petra, the place where many of the Israelites have run to hide. Remember what they were told to do? Hide yourselves in that day. We're told that in Matthew. We're told that in Zechariah. We're told that in some of the minor prophets as well as in the book. Hide yourselves. They're going to go and hide there. And we're told in the Old Testament that God's going to appear there and he is going to rescue his people. And he's going to take them back, and then he's going to touch down in a third location, we're told, and that's on the Mount of Olives. And buddy, there's going to be some big changes that take place. That mountain's going to split apart. Water will flow from that spot all the way to the Mediterranean, and Jerusalem will become a seaport. Can God do that?
Oh, that's pie in the sky theology.
No, that's what the Bible says. Oh no, we need to allegorize all of that. He really wasn't meaning that. He was meaning to say that things will be positive for the new Israel. No, we don't have that right to change God's words. The hope lies for the people of Israel. There is hope for the church. There is hope for the Gentile, we're told. There's going to be Gentile nations that are blessed of God in the millennial kingdom. There's promises that are made there. And so we see this three-track system throughout history. The Gentiles start first, right? Was Job a Jew or a Gentile? He was a, somebody thinking, oh, should I say it out loud? He was a Gentile. All right? Gentiles started first. Then God called Abraham. And then he began a new people group, the Israelites. Now, Abraham was a Gentile to start with, but he became the father of the homeland. And then, of course, the promises that were made to the patriarchs. And then we find Paul announcing something that was not known before that. That is the arrival of the church at Pentecost. And he says, lo, I'm a prophet, I'm an apostle to the uncircumcised. Who is that? Gentiles. He also went to the circumcised, the Jews. So we see this three-track all throughout the Bible, New Testament. God had made those promises. There's a hope for each one. And we have to recognize that and appreciate it and not diminish the Word of God one ought. Be careful. This is dangerous territory when we start diminishing the Word of God and we make it mean something less than what it says, or we make it mean more than what it says. So, let's look at this very quickly. Verse 1. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests and to the prophets and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that Jeconiah the king and the queen and the eunuchs and the princes of Judah and Jerusalem and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Stop for just a moment. Who caused them to be carried from the land of promise to the land of Babylon? God did. God did. So, build ye houses and dwell in them and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget you sons and daughters and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands that they may bear sons and daughters that ye may be increased there and not diminished. Build houses. Get married. Have children. And increase in Babylon. All right, now what is God doing here? Is He giving them false hope? We talked about the three kinds of hope. No hope, false hope, and what's the third one? Genuine hope, that which is real, God's hope that He has. He's not giving them false hope here. And seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you. Who would deceive the people? The prophets and the diviners. Now these are the people that are supposed to be speaking for God. Be careful, they'll lie to you. That's what he's saying here. Continue on. Neither hearken to your dreams which ye have dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. Did God do that? Yes, He did. He had three leaders that He raised up. And He raised up a king to grant them permission to be able to do that. Cyrus, you remember the story there? So, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. What do we call that? That's hope. That's hope. It won't be realized right now. It won't be realized in 10 years, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, then finally 70, they get to go back to the land. That's hope. By the way, the book continues on to talk about not only what would happen after 70 years, but what would happen after thousands of years. The restoration of Israel into the land of promise. a new covenant. Will be talked about in Jeremiah chapter 32, chapter 33. He's going to deal with this new covenant. I'm going to take away your heart of stone, and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh that's vibrant and loves me, the Lord said. Now, is he just going to do away with that and just give it to another group of people? No. The promise is still yet future. When he makes his people, when they look upon him whom they have pierced, Zechariah tells us, they look upon him whom they have pierced, and they say, my Lord and my God. What a glorious day that will be. The promises of God are sure because God said so. And the hope that comes with that is true because God said so. I'm making this emphasis tonight because sometimes we have a tendency to think that something hasn't happened yet. Therefore, maybe we have misplaced our hope. Let me just say this. When your hope is in Christ, it's never misplaced. When your hope is in God Almighty, it's never misplaced. You may not get your prayer answered concerning a physical ailment. Paul didn't. Paul went to him three different occasions. Lord, take away this weakness, this thing that's a thorn in my flesh. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, your hope is in my grace because my strength is made great in your weakness. Folks, this is the encouragement to us. Do not diminish your thoughts of Christ and God because something hasn't happened that you want to happen right now. Now, we're used to getting disappointed, are we not? How many of you have driven out of McDonald's and looked in your bag and found out, I don't have what I ordered? That happened to me 2 weeks ago. I had ordered the stuff. I got down and I was by myself. I was heading back up here to the ballpark. I opened the bag and I looked down in there. Hello, 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 hello. There was a Filet-O-Fish. I smelled it. I made my way over to CVS, did the loop, came back, and I did not order a filet of fish. Oh, yeah, we're sorry, sir. We gave the other guy your food. We'll get yours out right away. So I sat in line again, waiting for my food to be done. I was disappointed. Now, I have made it my policy. I don't holler at kids. I don't get upset with them. I don't know who fixed my stuff. I could be hollering at the wrong person. That's why it's best not to do that. But I was disappointed that I didn't get the food that I ordered. Again, trusting humans, disappointment. Trusting God, no disappointment. No disappointment. Yeah, but I've been asking him for a long time to do this for me and he hasn't done it yet. Well, maybe you're asking outside the will of God. Or maybe God has another plan. Do I hear an amen? He might have another plan. That's way better than yours. And it may turn out that it takes years to see it unfolded. Years to see what God was doing. And we look back and say, God knew what He was doing. He was right. I was wrong. I was wrong in my expectations. I had a fellow that I've known for years. We were talking. Matter of fact, he was talking to Roger. And I talked to him 2 days before that, was telling me he's battling a serious health issue. He and I are the same age. Serious health issue. Some of you know who he is. And he was just saying, he said, I've been retired from my job now for several years, and my wife and I wanted to travel. And my doctor said, you can't travel. This health issue, is you don't need to be behind the wheel of a car right now. You need to stay close by. This is serious. He said, that was disappointing to hear. My wife was very disappointed because we had all these plans that we were going to do, but my health is to the point now where we can't do that. And he's 61. Now, that doesn't fall in line with human planning, does it? But I told him, I said, listen, God has a reason for for this. Maybe God has a ministry for you right here in Milton that He's keeping you here to do. Could that be? Could God bring circumstance in our life that puts us in a particular place where He can use us in this location right now? Are we flexible enough to let God do that in our hearts and lives? It's not easy. Didn't say it was. But what's the hope? God always does right. God's plans, God's purposes, God's will is always right and correct for me. And so we've seen this many, many times throughout the years where God would put somebody. I know Dr. Hobbs used to tell about an elderly lady in Chester, South Carolina. Anybody remember the story he used to tell? There was a bunch of boys that were preachers that preached on the street in Chester, and they went to the nursing home to preach after they were done street preaching. And there was an elderly lady in there that got to know the boys and put their names on her prayer list and prayed for them. She would get so excited. She was bedridden. She couldn't walk. Body racked by arthritis, but she was a prayer warrior. And she prayed for those boys. They went there for years while they were there at Bob Jones University. They went there for years. And you know what she told Dr. Hobbs? She said, I have no doubt in my mind that God took away my ability and my health to walk and be able to do things. He put me right here so I could pray for you preacher boys. Wow. I'm sure she would have enjoyed running with her grandkids, doing things with her children. But God put her in a nursing home to pray for preacher boys at Bob Jones University. What's interesting is the number of those men that God used. Dayton Hobbs came here, planted a church and a Christian school. The other young man went to Japan and was a missionary there for 50 plus years. Two others were involved in Christian ministries, pastoral ministries, up in Illinois and Ohio. All of them had the anointing of God on their lives because there was an elderly lady in Chester, South Carolina, that God had taken her ability to walk and put her in a place to pray for those boys. Now that strikes people. I don't like that. I don't like that. You don't like God's will? You don't like God's purposes? She could say, I have no doubt that God put me here in this place to pray for you young men. And she did, buddy. She did. You know what she had a grasp of? The hope. The hope. I can't walk now, but one day I'm going to be on those streets of gold. And I'm going to see those boys there that I prayed for. And I'm going to see my Savior who put me in that bed for a reason. We've got to expand our thinking, folks, about how God works. We narrow it down to just me, what I want. And God better give me what I want. Oh, wait a minute. If you're His child, He'll give you what you need. And we need to be satisfied with that. Israel was promised after 70 years. Oh, Lord, can't you make it 65? How about cutting it in half? Let's do 35 instead of 70. Nope, 70 years are determined. My land is going to have rest because you, instead of giving the land its rest in the seventh year, you decided to plant your crops and make your money on my land. So I'm going to get all my Sabbaths back, 70 of them. That's our God. Got a problem with that? That's our God. I'm going to get my land is going to have rest for 70 years because you did your thing instead of doing what I said to do. Every seventh year, they were to save up enough from the sixth year to make it through the seventh year, not to plant, let the land be fallow, and then you can go back the next year and plant again. All these rules. Listen, folks, we need to trust God in everything. Even in the challenges and the difficulties and the sorrow and the hurt. Trust Him. Because we have hope eternal. Hope in man, disappointment. Hope in Christ, no disappointment. Israel right now is doing her thing. But one day, after 7 years of trial and tribulation, they will see the Messiah whom they have pierced. And what does the Bible say they will do? They will turn to Him and say, "My Lord and my God." What a picture of hope realized. That's what we have in our God. One of these days, we'll all get together in heaven. All right? And we'll all be there, and we're going to be fit and trim. Amen? Yeah, we're going to be fit and trim. And we won't have glasses on. Yeah, that'll be a blessing, won't it? No glasses. No hearing aids. Yes! Forever done with these things. With more than one person is talking, I've got all kinds of stuff that's going on inside my head. And I'm going to be delivered from that. You're going to be delivered from all your difficulties and trials because we're going to have a body like unto Christ. Folks, that's hope. That's hope. And I'm thankful tonight that I can stand before you and not share a lie with you. This is the truth. This is the truth. God's not done with Israel. God's not done with the Gentile. God's not done with the church. All promises made to three groups in history will be completely fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word. What an encouragement it is to us. Lord, I'm thankful that the testimony that's shared in Jeremiah and all the minor prophets, major prophets concerning Israel are yea and not nay. Everything will be fulfilled that are promised there. Everything promised to the church will be completely fulfilled. Everything promised to the Gentile nations will be fulfilled because God does not lie. He doesn't tell an untruth. He doesn't deceive. Lord, I'm thankful that we have the testimony tonight of your blessed word. And I pray that you'd encourage us. May we keep our hope steadfast in thee. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.